Well, good afternoon, everyone, again. During the last 6,000 years of human history, God has been doing something special on this earth. He has been working out His will in the lives of a few people. The first fruits whom He has separated from the rest of the world and opened their minds to spiritual understanding. He's called out a special few. God, as the Creator, has separated these few to be clean, to be unspotted from the world, and to be sanctified so that He can make them a spiritual creation. What will be the results of their faithful walk, these special ones that have been called out? They will be called a special people when Jesus Christ returns. Let's notice in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. This is a section of Scripture describing Jesus Christ's return and the fact that He's going to put down the nations at His return. And it also describes those who will be at His side. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, the nations of the beast power, the nations that are going to be coming against Jesus Christ. It says, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Now notice those that are with Him. And those who are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. This is one of the scriptures that describes the who these people are in their faithful walk, in their Christian walk through their life. And they will be with Jesus Christ at His return. These are powerful words to describe a special people whose minds have been opened to understand His truth and to walk with God in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. They have been separated from the rest of the world, these called out, chosen, and faithful people. What is it that truly separates those who have been called by God? Is there anything that you can think about or point to that these people are separated from the rest of the world, from the rest of mankind? What is it that God has sanctified Himself that sets these people apart to be special from the rest of the world? Well, it is the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day that sets them apart. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And of course, this is where the Ten Commandments are listed. Moses received these Ten Commandments from God and told the children of Israel these Ten Commandments. Let's notice Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse number 8. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 8. And we're going to be looking at the specific commandment for the Sabbath day. And it's interesting that this has a significance in that it's the longest commandment written here. Jesus Christ, who was the God who would become Jesus Christ, was the one that expressed these commandments. Jesus Christ was the great teacher. He was the greatest teacher that ever walked upon this earth. And He went into detail about this one specific commandment. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Then He goes on to describe a little bit more. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. So going into specific detail here. Continuing on, verse number 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Sabbath day was set apart and made for man at the time of creation, and God blessed it and hallowed it at the time of creation and rested from all of His works. Notice verse number 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Not only is there great detail about this special commandment. But at the very beginning, it says, remember the Sabbath day. This is the only commandment of the Ten Commandments that God specifically calls His people to remember. And yet, this is the one, ironically speaking, this is the one that mankind likes to forget. And in most cases, this is the one that mankind ignores. The title of today's sermon is Remembering and Keeping the Sabbath Holy. Remembering and Keeping the Sabbath Holy. Today, let's examine the importance of this special command by learning the significance of remembering and keeping it holy, just as it's described here in the beginning of verse number 8. A subtitle of this message today, if you like subtitles, could be, How Important is the Sabbath to You? Because if it is important to you, you will remember it and you will keep it holy. In the first part of this sermon today, we're going to examine the admonition to remember the Sabbath day. We'll examine that completely. Then in the second part, we'll look at keeping it holy. So first of all, how do we remember the Sabbath day? How do we remember it? Well, let's investigate. Verse number 8 says to remember the Sabbath day. Remember it because it had already been hallowed by God. God had already hallowed it at creation. And there's a connection between remembering God and what He did at creation. Notice at the beginning of verse number 8, the beginning of this commandment, it says, remember it. And then at the last phrase in verse number 11, it says, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That's the connection. That's what He did at creation. Therefore, we should remember the Sabbath day. So let's go back to the account in Genesis chapter 1. And let's see how God did bless this particular day of the week and hallow it. He actually put a threefold blessing on creation during that creation week. Three different blessings. Let's take a look at those now. Genesis chapter 1, and let's pick it up in verse number 21. Genesis 1:21. So God created great sea creatures, and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 22, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters on the earth, and let the birds multiply in the earth. So notice here in verse number 22, these animals that God had created, not like the plants that had sprung out from the ground, the animals that God had created, He blessed them. And this was the first blessing that He did during that creation week. Now let's go down to verse number 26 as He creates man. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then notice verse 28. Here's the second blessing that God does during the creation week. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. So here we find a second blessing that God does during this creation week. Now let's go forward to the third blessing. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because He rested from all His work which He had created and made. So here we find the third blessing that God put on the creation during that creation week on a specific day of the week, the seventh day, the Sabbath, and He blessed it. God not only blessed it, but He sanctified it. And to sanctify something is to make it holy, to declare it holy. In other words, He made that day, the seventh day, the Sabbath, special. And we remember it. And we make it a special day in our lives as well. Word Bible commentary says this about these words, blessed and sanctified. It says, these are striking terms to apply to a day. Now think about that for a moment. Blessed and sanctified for a day of the week. And why? Because it was special in God's sight. And it should be special in ours as well. Now when we think about this word remember, when we think about it in English, most of the time we think about recalling something. I remember when I was a little boy and I went to school and I did such and such. I remember when my family got together on Thanksgiving Day every year. You know, you recall something from your past. But according to Vine's Dictionary, from the original Hebrew, remember means more than just recall, bringing something back from your memory. And it actually means to take action. To take action on something. To remember is to take action. Here's how Vines defines it. To remember means more than to recall. It means to retain in thought so as to tell someone who can take action. So there's action involved in remembering. Let's notice that in the Scriptures. Let's go to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. Actually, let's pick up the account in Genesis 7, verse 24. This is the account of the flood, and you all know the story. 40 days and 40 nights, the rain fell, and God destroyed the wickedness from the earth and only saved Noah and his family and the animal kind through the ark. And we pick it up in Genesis chapter 7, verse 24. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. So imagine floating around on that ark with all the animal kind and just your family, and you're out there for 150 days while the wickedness is being destroyed on this earth. Then chapter 8, verse number 1. Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And how did God remember Noah and all that was with him in the ark? We'll continue on. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. So God took action. He remembered Noah and all that was in the ark. He sent a wind to dry up the waters, and they all went back out onto dry land. So God remembers, and he took action. That's how it's described here in Genesis chapter 8. Let's take a look at another example in Genesis chapter 19. God remembered Abraham by saving Lot from destruction. You know the story of Lot. We talked about that in a sermon not too long ago, in the wickedness that was involved in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God rained fire and brimstone upon those particular cities, in which Lot, Abraham's nephew, had become involved with that particular area. But God remembered him. Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 29. Actually, let's pick it up in verse number 28 of Genesis 19. Then he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. It was burning because of its wickedness. Verse 29. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he had overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. So God remembered Abraham's nephew, and he saved him from the destruction. Again, he took action in his life in remembering. Another example, which we won't turn to, but you can put this down in your notes if you'd like to, in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 22, Genesis 30 verse 22, where God remembered Rachel by giving her children. So again, another instance of taking action through remembering. One account that I do want you to turn to, though, is in Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. This is, of course, you know that the children of Israel were in terrible slavery and bondage under the Egyptians. And God remembered his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he delivered the people of Israel from their bondage. Exodus chapter 2, and let's pick it up in verse number 23. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of their bondage. Verse 24. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. And he delivered them from their slavery. Of course, you know the story. Through the deliverance that he did upon the Egyptians, he sent all the different plagues that he sent upon the Egyptians, and God delivered them. He remembered them. He took action. Here's what Vine's commentary says about this word remember, as it has to do with the children of Israel. It says, remember is used of God in respect to his covenant promises and is followed by an action to fulfill his covenant. There's action involved in remembering. So then, what does that have to do with us? What action is involved for us to remember the Sabbath? What action is involved for us to remember the Sabbath? Well, it is our time that we dedicate in worship to God. That's the action that we take to remember the Sabbath. Our worship of our Creator. Here's how Expositor's commentary puts it. It says this. The command to remember the Sabbath is moral insofar as it requires of a person a due portion of his or her time dedicated to the worship and service of God. So we remember the Sabbath day by dedicating our time and worshiping God. We do that at Sabbath services, but we also do that in our personal lives as well. Remembering is a form of worshiping God. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And we'll be reading verses 9 through 15. Exodus chapter 3. Verse number 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. And of course, we just established that God remembered them and he was going to take action on their account. Verse number 10. Come now, therefore, I will send you, talking to Moses, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you when you have brought the children out of Egypt, have brought the people out of Egypt, and you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, well, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. In verse 15, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial or my remembrance to all generations. So my name will stand out to all generations. It's a memorial. It's a remembrance for the children of Israel forever. To memorialize or remember his name. And we remember that he is the one that brought us into existence. And the Sabbath day. The Sabbath is to be remembered as well. It's a memorial or it's a marker that comes once a week as a reminder of who created us. And who brought us into existence. We remember the Sabbath day. And it's a memorial. Once a week it comes. And we worship our God. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. This is where the commandments were given to the young people who would enter the promised land. Remember, the original ones that came out of the slavery disqualified themselves from entering the promised land. God would not let them go into the promised land, but he did let those who were 20 years of age and younger go in. And the Ten Commandments were repeated to them here in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And not only that, but there was even more information given here in Deuteronomy chapter 5 on the significance of remembering it and how it's associated with the Sabbath. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we'll be reading verses 12 through 15. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. And again, it goes into detail here. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, of your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger, or your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. Now notice verse number 15. This is something that wasn't given in Exodus chapter 20. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Here God's reemphasizing the need to keep the Sabbath day to those who would go into the promised land. Notice he says in verse number 12, observe the Sabbath day. Now this means to guard or to preserve. Guard the Sabbath day. Preserve it. Because it's so special and so important. God here in verse number 15 told them to remember that they were slaves in the land of Egypt. God explained to the children of Israel that the Sabbath is not only a reminder of Him as their Creator, but He's the one that freed them from their bondage. The physical bondage, the slavery, the terrible slavery that they were under. And this has spiritual significance for us. Physical significance for them, spiritual significance for us. Especially when we reflect upon it in worship on the Sabbath day. Now think about that for a moment. The action that we take in remembering the Sabbath day is to worship God. This is one of the things that we can reflect upon as we're studying and as we're going through the Sabbath day in our worship. Remembering that God brought me out of my bondage, the spiritual bondage, the sins that I had been under, walking in the ways of the world. And He brought me out of that slavery. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Romans 6:16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? And we can be thankful. That's one of the things that we can reflect upon, the things that I used to do. And God called me out of that to live a different life and to walk a different way. Verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Again, as we're worshiping God on the Sabbath day, just as the children of Israel were to reflect upon the fact that they were delivered from their slavery, we can be thankful that God delivered us from this world in the slavery, the bondage to sin, in the way that He did. The Sabbath is a good time to reflect on God's mercy and how He saved us from our old way of life and to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. To chart our course as we're worshiping God, to stay on track and not to conform to the world. Romans chapter 12, just a few pages forward. Here's a good thing that we can reflect upon as we're worshiping God on the Sabbath day and remembering Him. that memorial, that one day of the week. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, as we're worshiping God, remembering Him on the Sabbath day, this is a good thing to reflect upon. Transform the transformation of our minds. And how do we do that? By studying God's Word. God talking to us through the Scriptures. By us talking to Him in our prayer life. That communication, building our spiritual life up with Him. Renewing our contact with God on the Sabbath day. We're building a spiritual relationship with Him. And that's the action that we're taking in remembering and worshiping Him on that special day. Back to Exodus chapter 31 this time. Exodus chapter 31. Again, continuing on with this thread of remembering the Sabbath and taking action in our form of worship to God. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31, and let's begin reading verse number 13. Exodus 31, 13. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between you, between me and you, throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Sanctifies you or sets you apart to be a special people. Verse number 16. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. So the Sabbath is to be kept holy as a reminder to those who have been called out that He set them apart, sanctified them, as His special children. Notice in verse number 13, it says, my Sabbath, with a capital letter, my. My Sabbath reminds us that this is the Lord's idea, God's idea. It's not a human invention. Verse 13, we see the word sign. A sign is a reminder, a memorial, or a symbol. And again, the Sabbath is that memorial, that once a week memorial, that we remember God, those who are called, chosen, and faithful. And the memorial points back to creation, the creation of the Sabbath as God created it in the creation week. Matthew Henry's commentary says this, the Sabbath is designed for a memorial of the creation of the world and therefore to be observed to the glory of the Creator. And the Sabbath is a memorial that comes once a week for us to focus on worshiping our great God, to build a relationship with Him through listening to His Word and talking to Him through our prayer. The Sabbath reveals in type God's plan for man. It reminds us that God is working out a plan on this earth for all of mankind and the rest, the peace and the harmony that there will be in the millennium. The Sabbath also reveals that God is a spiritual creator. He's building a spiritual creation in us. And we build that relationship with Him. And we walk in the footsteps of Christ. And we do that by worshiping on the Sabbath day and throughout the rest of the week, but especially that memorial that comes once a week to focus on worshiping Him. If we're building a spiritual relationship with God on that special day, we are remembering the Sabbath. We're worshiping our great God. Now let's take a look at the second part. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20, just a few pages back here, to that commandment. Exodus chapter 20. And let's look at the second part of this admonition in verse number 8. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 8. We've already evaluated this first part, remembering the Sabbath day. Then the second part, to keep it holy. To keep it holy. God set the Sabbath day apart and sanctified it in the creation week. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 again. Let's take a look at the creation week and what God did when He created the Sabbath. God did something very special as He was creating things. He separated certain things from other things. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 4. Let's pick it up in verse number 3. Genesis 1, verse number 3. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided, or we could say separated, God divided the light from the darkness. And He called the light day, and the darkness He called night. This word divided can be translated separated. He separated the day from the night, the light from the darkness. And He did that at creation. And we can see as we go through the creation account, several instances where God separated certain things from other things. Let's drop down to verse number 7. Thus God made the firmament, and He divided or separated the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. So another instance of God separating something at creation. Now let's go down to verse number 16 through 18. Then God made two great lights, verse 16. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. To divide or separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So another instance, God created the sun and the moon, and again, to separate the light from the darkness. Then we come to another instance of God separating something in creation. Genesis chapter 2, God separates a day. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 2. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Verse number 3. Then God blessed the seventh day, and He sanctified it, or He set it apart. He separated it from the other days of the week, because He had rested from all His work which God had created and made. So the seventh day. And here in verse number 3, we see the first biblical appearance of this word sanctified, or set apart, or to make holy, to declare something holy. And it had to do with the day of the week, the Sabbath day, just like the commandment. Keep it holy. Vines points out, Vines Dictionary of New Testament and Old Testament words points out that this term sanctified here in verse number 3 of chapter 2 is related to the Hebrew term holy in Exodus 20 and verse number 8. Sanctified, according to Vines, means to declare something holy. And we see here that a day is declared holy or sanctified. And when we observe the seventh day as holy, we're imitating what God did as He set it apart and made it holy, imitating the Creator's example. Now, throughout the Word of God, throughout Scripture, we find that God Himself is holy. God is holy. Holiness is the essence of His character. Remember the account in Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. We won't turn there. You can just put it in your notes. But when God was speaking to Moses in the burning bush, He told him to remove his sandals because on the ground where he stood was holy. The ground itself wasn't holy before, but it was holy when God's presence was there. And so He told him to take off his sandals. God's active presence makes something holy. And God made the Sabbath day holy. Word Bible Commentary says this: the seventh day is the very thing to be hallowed in Scripture, to acquire that special status that properly belongs to God alone. And the Sabbath was set apart and sanctified by God. And we need to respect it in that way, that it is holy and we're in God's active presence. You know, when we come to Sabbath services and the opening prayer is made, what is often said? God, put your presence about us. Inspire the speakers. Help us to listen, to understand. Put your presence here about us. We're in God's presence on the Sabbath day, and we need to respect it that way. And throughout the day as well. You know, there's so many things that can distract us today. We're in the information age. You know, we've got information at our fingertips. Things that can take us away to different and get us off track in so many different things. But we need to keep that focus and remember that this is a holy day and we should respect it that way. Back to Exodus chapter 31. I skipped over a couple scriptures here. We're going to look at it now as we talk about keeping the Sabbath holy and respecting it that way. Exodus chapter 31. And we'll pick it up again in verse number 13. Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Now I skipped over verse 14 the last time. Verse 14. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. So God made it plain. The Sabbath is holy to you. Don't profane it, is what he says. And it included a death penalty for anybody that did. It was that serious. Verse number 15, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. So the Sabbath was not for casual recreation, but for worshiping God. And those who observed the Sabbath carelessly invited their own destruction. Let's take a look at another scripture here in Isaiah chapter 56. This is actually a prophecy of the future, but it focuses on the importance of keeping the Sabbath holy. Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah 56. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness. For my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Now this has a twofold phase in it, because Jesus Christ did come to this earth. He did walk righteously, and he did die for our sins and open the door for us to have salvation. But there will be a greater fulfillment of this in the future, when the veil of deception is lifted upon this earth, and God's laws begin to be revealed to mankind, God's laws of righteousness. And then salvation will be open to all mankind, opportunity for all mankind to come to salvation. So my salvation is about to come, my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. And that's what the teachers will be teaching in that day, that great day when it comes, to be observing the Sabbath. People that never understood what it even was in their lifetime. And they'll be learning not to defile the Sabbath day. Isaiah chapter 58, just a couple pages forward. Isaiah chapter 58. Verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 58:13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of God, of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And again, this is what the teachers, not only is this an admonition to each and every one of us to keep the Sabbath day holy, but the teachers in the future will be teaching this. And they will say, if you do these things, you're going to be blessed by God. As it says here, you will delight yourself in the Lord. You'll ride on the high hills of the earth. And you'll feed with the heritage of Jacob, your father. You'll have those blessings for keeping this day holy. Notice it says here, doing your own pleasure in verse 13. Or you could say, as we please. And when we turn from seeking our way, we find pleasure in what pleases God. And it's a matter of honoring God. Notice the phrase here, it says, speaking your own words. In other words, regulating the way that we think. Focusing on our minds on the Sabbath and God and worshiping Him. Here's how the paraphrase reads of verse 13. If you keep the Sabbath holy, not having your own fun and business on that day, but enjoying the Sabbath and speaking of it with delight as the Lord's holy day, and honoring the Lord in what you do, not following your own desires and pleasure, nor talking idly, you shall be blessed. The Sabbath is a day in which we, as disciples, must treat that special day with reverence, as holy time, and time for building our relationship with God. And it's also a time to reflect upon the future that God has planned for mankind. You know, we talked about the fact of building our spiritual relationship with God, not conforming to the world, and transforming our mind on this special day. But it's also a day that we can reflect upon the marvelous future that God has for mankind. We look around us in the daily news and we see the things that are going on, the destruction, the killing, so many things, children that are dying of starvation throughout the world. And all that's going to disappear. There's going to be a rest. There's going to be a beautiful millennium for mankind. And we can reflect upon that on this special day. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. There's a comparison in this section of Scripture between the children of Israel and how they did not enter their rest, the promised land, disqualified themselves. And yet, this section of Scripture points to the rest that will be available for all of mankind. Let's read through here. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll be reading verses 4 through 10. Hebrews chapter 4, and verse number 4. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And we've read that in the Scriptures today in this sermon. Verse number 5, here's something else that's written in the Scriptures. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. And that's referring to those that disqualified themselves, those that had been freed from their bondage and did not go into the promised land because of their sins. Verse number 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. So it says here in the beginning of verse number 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter it. God's plan will not be thwarted. God has a plan for mankind. Even though there were those that did not qualify to enter their rest, God's plan will be fulfilled. And He will bring about the kingdom according to His plan. Verse number 7. And again, He designates a certain day. That's a day of opportunity. He designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, it has been said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Verse number 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. In other words, those that came into the promised land, those that came in with Joshua, they entered the promised land. But that wasn't the true rest that God has for all of mankind. There's another opportunity, another day, another today that lays out into the future It's going to be a greater opportunity for all of mankind. And that's spoken of here in verse number 9. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. A great rest, a greater fulfillment of rest than the children of Israel, the ones that did enter the promised land. And that lays out yet into the future. This word rest in verse number 9 comes from a Greek word, sabbatismos. Sabbatismos. And it means the Sabbath rest. The Sabbath rest that we partake of, that we are partaking of today, points to a greater rest for all of mankind. The true rest of peace and happiness and harmony. The Sabbath looks forward to the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the kingdom of God, when we'll finally have a true rest for all of humanity. Let's go to one final scripture in Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, in verse number 23. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66:23, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord." And that scripture has not been fulfilled yet. That scripture remains to be fulfilled in the future. All mankind is not worshiping the Lord and coming before the Lord, and especially from one Sabbath to another Sabbath. That is something that lays out yet in the kingdom of God. When Jesus Christ returns to earth to establish the kingdom of God, the Sabbath will be kept regularly by people as a means of worship and serving our great God. There is one special day of the week. It's a memorial. It's a reminder for those who have been called and chosen, those who are special, to keep that as a special sign. And we need to remember that day. We need to keep it holy, reflect upon it. Allow God to work within us on the Sabbath day. It's a chance to build and nourish our relationship with our Creator. Focus our minds on His way and His purpose, and the purpose He has for all of mankind. To remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy is what the called, the chosen, and the faithful will do. And it helps us experience and enjoy the blessing of God's Sabbath day.